today we get started with Hebrews chapter 9. I want to start off with an illustration. Why is it so important for us to consider the old covenant if the new covenant is so much better? I think an illustration can be used of iPhones. Every year, it seems, there's a new iPhone coming out with better technology, and it's more durable and so forth, better battery life. But what would happen if somebody completely disconnected with the smartphone world came to one of those unveilings of the new iPhone, and they came out and they said, listen, the iPhone has battery for 4 days of continuous use, and it can be dropped from the top of the Empire State Building and come away unscratched, and it can be submerged in water for 4 days and without having any issues. Now, somebody might go, wow, that's really great, but if they don't have a comparison of what the previous phone was able to do, what its abilities were, compared with the new one, the appreciation becomes somewhat void or null. And so, what is the significance of this new covenant? What makes it so great? Well, let's compare it with an understanding of what the old covenant is. So that's what he does a little bit in verse 9. We can notice this, that there are two chapters in the Bible committed to the creation of the world. And yet, there are approximately 50 chapters in Scripture connected with the making of the tabernacle. Now, consider that just for a moment. The creation of the whole world, two chapters. The creation of the tabernacle, the making of the tabernacle, approximately 50. So, there are some important things to note with the tabernacle and the temple. Verse 1, now even the first covenant had regulations of divine worship in the earthly sanctuary. So we have one of the locations that's mentioned is the holy place in verse 2. For there was a tabernacle prepared, the outer one, in which where the lampstand and the table and the sacred bread, this is called the holy place. So the lampstand was a light. Jesus is the light of the world. The bread, you have Jesus calls himself the bread of light, the bread of life. You have an altar. There was intercession. Jesus continually intercedes for us at God's right hand. Verse 6, there's another mention of the holy places. Now, when these things have been so prepared, the priests are continually entering the outer tabernacle, performing divine worship. Verse 20 of Exodus 27 says that they are to have a light continually burning. But then, the holy place is not in there. You have the Holy of Holies. In verse 3, it mentions behind the second veil, there was a tabernacle which is called the Holy of Holies. This place was unapproachable, unseen and separate on the other side of the holy place. It had a golden altar of incense. And the Ark of the Covenant was covered on all sides with gold, in which was a golden jar holding the manna. It was a reminder of God's provision. And Aaron's rod, which budded, it was a reminder of the Aaronic priesthood and God's power of deliverance. And the tables of the covenant, it's a reminder of the covenant made by God with Israel and the law. So the explanation here is given in verse 5. And above it were the cherubim of glory overshadowing the mercy seat, but of these things we cannot now speak in detail. This was a place of God meeting with them, according to Exodus 25, verse 22. But into the second, only the high priest enters once a year, in other words, into the Holy of Holies, not without taking blood, which he offers for himself and for the sins of the people committed in ignorance. So there was great detail which went into, and I'll read a quote from John MacArthur. He says, very early on the Day of Atonement, the high priest cleansed himself ritually, and he put on his elaborate robes, with a breastplate near the heart, signifying that he carried the people in his heart, an ephod on the shoulder, signifying that he had power on their behalf, representing the 12 tribes. Then he began his daily sacrificing. Unlike Christ, he had to sacrifice for his own sin. Very likely, he would have already slaughtered 22 different animals by the time he reached the event known as the Atonement. It was an exceptionally busy and bloody thing that he did on this day. After finishing all the sacrifices, he took off the robes of glory and beauty and went and bathed himself again completely. He then put on a white linen garment with no decoration or ornament at all and performed the sacrifice of atonement. So the Holy Spirit is signifying this, that the way into the holy place has not yet been disclosed while the outer tabernacle is still standing. The point that God wants us to understand is this. Dependence upon the old rituals is pointless, for they were a picture of the true way into the presence of God. Verse 9, which is a symbol for the present time. We are no longer in the time of picture, but now we are in the time of substance. Accordingly, both gifts and sacrifices are offered, which cannot make the worshiper perfect in conscience. So these sacrifices and service could not cleanse the inside and give true peace to an individual in relation to a holy, holy God. Why? Well, we understand. Since they relate only to food and drink and various washings, regulations for the body imposed until the time of Reformation. Hebrews 10:22 rather says, "Let us draw near with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts, what? Sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." How does this happen? It is through a new way created by Jesus, that is, through the veil that is his flesh, Jesus offering his very body as a sacrifice for us. So the time of Reformation has come. Jesus has come and made the way straight for man to come to God. Salvation is through Jesus and Jesus alone. And again, Hebrews is pounding into our minds and hearts that Jesus is best. So we continually look to him, and we look to him and him alone.